Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Cigars. This is Robert.
Good morning, Robert. All right, well, let's open up the phone lines. Hour number three. Let's see if we can get some calls in here, and we'll talk a little fishing and hunting or whatever outdoor-related somebody wants to do the gift of the gab with. We're welcome to it. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. See what's up. All right, first caller this morning on open lines will be Guitar Dave. He's up and running, and you're off. What's up, Dave?
Hello. Hey, Captain. Can you hear me?
Yes, always. If I couldn't, I'd tell you.
All right. Well, you heard anything from the walking boss lately, Steve?
Yeah, I talk to him occasionally.
Yeah. I hadn't asked Roland about him. In a while, you know, and see how he's doing. But yeah, you know, he has that voice, man. When you know what I'm talking about when he walks up in there and gets everybody up. Mm-hmm. But Roland, he went fishing last Saturday in Willis. But I hadn't heard nothing from him all week on it, what happened or what they did. But I was gonna. I heard you talking with Captain Lynn, and man, I'll never forget when I first went through my heart stuff at the institute over there with Dr. Martin Zavian. He was working on me for 3 years, you know, getting my heart ready for, I had to get the pacemaker put in and all that. And then one day I was over there and I said, hey, look, man, you know, I worked on this here. We built all this round sheetrock and everything. And Dr. Martin's lobby goes, come here, I'm going to show you something I built. And I'm like, man, is he going to show me like a heart or whatever? No, he went over there to a computer and punched up on there. And it was, y'all were talking about the straight up and down ladders? No, man, this dude built like a miniature beach house kind of sort of on stands and had a round staircase going up with an air conditioner hanging off the back. And I'm like, I didn't even know that he was a deer hunter. And he swear up and down by, he says, man, deer meat is some of the best meat for your heart that you'd ever want to eat. You know,
venison is really good for you. A lot of wild game is.
Yes, sir. And, and that's what he was telling me. And then what was real funny, then he's like, you know, and my son didn't even come help me build this stand. And he pushed another button and he goes, so I built this one for him. And it was like one of them grounds, kind of, it's barely tripods, barely off the ground and octagon shape, painted real dark green on the outside. And then he goes, but since he didn't help me on my stand, I painted the inside like this and he painted another button. Captain Mickey, Dr. Martin Zavi, that dude, he's a character, man. He painted the inside of that hot pink, man, hot pink. So when you open the door, man, you're about blinded in there. Like, man,
I've climbed in and out of a lot of stands, but I never never hunted inside of a pink stand.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm like, for him to come up with that, you know, like a major heart surgeon. And like I said, I went to him for 3 years. When Captain Lynn was talking about the Black Panther, You know what? I'm glad he told that story, because I have a buddy of mine out around Cold Springs and Porter, and that's over towards East Texas, right? Yeah, that way. And he swears up and down, back in the late 70s, he was out there camping and had one walk into his campsite, a Black Panther. And I just kind of always doubted him until I heard Captain Lynn saying that, yeah, they're around, you know. And I wonder how far they travel, you know, around. They can get around real fast, but I wouldn't know what their perimeters are, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, they cover some territory. I mean, they're...
Yes, sir. And,
well,
and
they've got to survive. They just move and hunt and hunt,
yes,
and eat to survive.
Yes, sir. Right.
Not like
right.
us.
No, I hear you. Hey, and on on the coon update, raccoons, they're still over there at my girlfriend's there in Willis. She's been seeing them. I'm going to have to go over there. I think I'm going to go there. This is a warning to the raccoons over there in Willis, Texas. I'm going to try to put a trap out over there and see if I can't snare them again. But I still can't believe that other male must have come in there and pushed the trap back down and got that other one out of there. I mean, they're sneaky, you know, so. But anyway.
Yeah, that, man, they're smart.
That's what I'm telling you, man. And that one time I couldn't believe it, right here behind, you know, right here behind my gallery furniture, man. I'm here, come out, and I look, and I seen, like, one big set of eyes and then, like, five or six small sets. And I shine a light over there, and all of a sudden, Mama Coon stood up. You know how they stand up and they look around? And that's when I knew they weren't cats, you know, and I'm like, man. Then they went down into the sewer pipe. So, you know, kind of like what was that, Gentle Ben? The rats, you know, down in the sewers. All right, well, hey, Captain, hey, I'm going to get on. I love this weather. I mean, I'm going to get more done probably in the next 2 days than I did all summer.
You know? A lot of folks. There's
that's what I'm saying.
It's just nice to get anything done you want and just comfortable. A lot better.
And I can breathe better. I can breathe better. You know what I mean? You know, when you breathe, you're not breathing like you're underwater, you know. I'm just happy to be here. God bless us, God keep us, and God bless America, Captain Mick. And
right,
I appreciate
Dave.
Y'all, man.
All
thank
right,
you, sir.
Stay
bye.
Out of
bye.
Trouble, buddy. See you now. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Onyx PFDs. You know, these life jacket stories, they're really critical, and there's nothing better for you to save your life than a PFD. You know, approximately 70% of all fatal boating accident victims drown. Now, that 70%, 87% of them were not wearing a personal flotation device. A PFD, it's like wearing a seatbelt. It's the biggest safety feature. It's proven to save your life. The Onyx AM24, that's the one I wear. It's very comfortable. It's convertible from automatic to manual or manual-only inflation. And the low-profile design, it keeps you comfortable, especially in hot weather. Plus, it has a soft neoprene neckline, and it won't rub you raw when you move around in your boat, especially in rough water. It has a durable ripstop fabric. It resists tears and punctures. And inflatable PFDs are not really recommended for children and non-swimmers, but Onyx has a complete lineup of flotation devices to fit every situation. For more information, visit onyxoutdoor.com. Or you can check them out at Academy Sports and Outdoors. I wear Onyx PFDs. You should too.
Should probably leave, 'cause I know you and you know me, and we both know where this is gonna lead. You want me to say that I want you to stay, so you should probably leave.
Good morning.
Yeah, you should.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I like that song. All right, it's 6:17 here in the Bayou City. Let's get back to our phone lines, and they're open, by the way. Give us a call. You got a good deer story or something for us? We'd love to hear it. What it's all about on Open Lines Fun Sunday. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. All right. George is up next. Let's go to George. George, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How's it going?
Oh, good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Yeah, I was listening to y'all, Captain Plog, talk about, you know, we talk about this every year, just about for a number of years, all the trout, you know, this time of year that show up, the dinks, mm-hmm. you know, and it looks like a good crop for the next year. And, you know, I've got kind of an analogy with deer. You know, y'all been talking about these deer this morning. It's been real interesting. I read years ago that I think it was Tompkins in the Chronicle.
Yeah, Shannon.
The age of the average deer that hits the ground in Texas during deer season. You know how old that deer is?
How old?
1.5 years old.
Come on. Are you serious? That,
yes, sir.
Bambi.
What I read in the paper, that's hey, the fish, they wind up in the freezer, okay? Just like Plog and y'all, you know, y'all surmised, you know, that's where they, you know, that's why.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, they go down good, you know, so anyway, I thought that was interesting, you know, listening to y'all talk about that. And also about those tarpon, you know, y'all were talking about. And the first thing that cropped up in my mind question was, where do they come from, east or west? And there's kind of a gray area. Y'all immediately addressed it on the air as I was thinking about it, you know, because that's kind of a debate, as I understand it. Isn't that correct, Mick?
Yeah, I think, you know, you may get a few from the east over there by Florida. But the majority of ours come from down south.
That's where I thought was the main
that.
School.
And they move up the coast. School. They move through Brian Barrera and all his fishing down there in Isabel. And it's kind of like once they all move through, they end up really piling up in the Venice area and that Mississippi Delta. That's why, you know, Robbie would always go over there and James and all of them every year and fish, you know, that tarpon rodeo and then run their trips over there. It was more consistent.
All that water from Mississippi, it feeds the Gulf of Mexico, the entire Gulf. That's the lifeblood. And you know, when we had back in the day, you know, we had presidents come down here to fish Galveston. It was a premier tarpon venue. Go look at your history books and you'll find records of this. Because that was back when the, you know, Clear Lake allegedly, now I don't know for firsthand, but supposedly it was clear at one time, you know, and when we had better fresh water, you know, from our rivers and everything. Now we got to take these last few years out of context.
George, yeah, they ran more naturally.
Yeah, we got to take these last few years out of context. I think,
sure.
You know, they're anomalies. And anyway, but, you know, historically, you know, we've heard, you know, Captain Mike Williams talk about that before, about the rivers and the fresh water and how that affected all those tarpon. And Mike was one of the ones that early on, I believe, that, you know, chased the tarpon. And a lot of people thought they were gone, pretty much entirely disappeared, as if I recall correctly. He proved that to be, you know, and then, of course, after the freezes we encountered and everything, y'all basically, those tarpon really provided something, an avenue.
Well, it gave us another avenue to make a living fishing.
Sure.
You know, after that 89-90 spectacle we had when we got hit hard. We had to do something to make a living.
Yes, sir. And that science, see, you know, it's still a mystery. And that's one of the beautiful things, you know, about life, is the enigma. That's what Giorgio de Sirico, of the enigma of a day. It hangs in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. But, you know, that's the thing about Mother Nature, you know, and if you give her a chance, you know, she'll surprise you, you know, and, but, you know, talking about those, Black Panthers, that, is actually, that's a variation of the jaguar.
A Mexican
jaguar. It's kind of like the albino, you know, like an albino. Except it's like the opposite. It's a pigment variation. They're really jaguars, and that outfitter, I forgot his name. And he used to be the editor, I believe, of Fish and Game, and he's got several books. A big flounder guy over there in Sabine, plays rock and roll.
Chester Moore.
Chester, thank you. Yes, sir. He had an article years ago about the last couple recorded, you know, kills in Texas, and it was very interesting. And he talked about that, and you know, and when you talk about jaguars and pumas or cougars or mountain lion,
right?
You know, you're talking about two completely different species, because the jaguars, 200 pounds and over, that, you know, these, there you're talking about something that could go kill a calf and then jump over the, take it and go and jump over the fence with it, nearly, you know. I mean, this is an animal that is it's a much bigger predator.
Yeah, it's powerful. I know a guy that had a high fence ranch, and he had game cam photos of a big cougar that had a small buck, you know, like an 8-point buck in his grasp, in his mouth. He had it around the neck and climbed the high fence with it and drug that deer over to the other side, drug it over the high fence. Tells you how powerful these animals are. And,
exactly.
You know, cougars, you know, back when I was a kid, they were very uncommon in this state because of the screw worm fly. You know, that was the eradication, you know. It, you know, it was almost the demise of these mountain lions because of the screw worm fly. And once we eradicated them, they made an unbelievable comeback.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, if you give Mother Nature a chance, she's very resilient. You know, when I was a kid, my granddaddy lived over there off of Shaw Street in old Pasadena. And, you know, he caught a trout, by the way, over in Trinity Bay. It was a double digit. I think they put it in the Pasadena Citizen. They put it in the paper. I think it was over 10 pounds. But I was real young. There was a shop over there, and it seemed like it was like an old antique shop or something. I was quite young, you know, I'm about your age, Mick. And they had a panther. They had a big storefront window, and that thing would pace back and front in that window. Now,
really?
It was, yes, sir, and it was young, and there might be somebody out there in the listening audience that remembers that, because it was over in, you know, back then, Pasadena was a lot smaller than it is today.
Oh,
you know,
it's huge
but
now.
Everything,
when we were kids, Pasadena was just, you know, like Baytown.
225. It was just over there at 225, and everything. You know, from 225 south, I guess it'd be, you know, that was underdeveloped. That was not developed. And this, because I'm talking about, you know, the late 50s or early 60s, very, you know, I think it's probably late 50s, because I was born in 54. So, you know, and I was probably only about four or five years old, because it's vague memory. But anyway, that thing, and it was a younger one, you know, I don't know how they came upon it, but that, you know, I'll never forget. And it would always pace up in front of that window. We'd always, when we come to visit my granddad, you know, we were stationed in Keesler Air Force Base, and my dad was in the Air Force. And we always want to go up there and try to see that. And I don't know what became of it. And it seemed like they may have been one of my aunts or something, or related to my granddad somehow. But I'll never forget that. And I don't believe they ever had a burglary.
Not like these days.
Yeah, right.
There was no such things as home invasions. I mean, we left the doors unlocked.
We didn't lock the doors. You didn't have to worry about how. Halloween, we'd go running. We'd run amok when we were young, you know.
Hey, my dad, the only reason he'd take the keys out of the car in the driveway is so he'd keep us from slipping off at night.
Lord.
His truck.
Well, I better not go there. All right, Mick, I appreciate you, man. And I'll get off here and let somebody else get on here.
Okay,
talk for
George.
A while.
Hey, have a good one. Good hearing from you, buddy. See you, man.
Thank you.
All right. You know, it. You know, he was talking about those tarpon and everything. You know, just in our lifetime, in my lifetime, what I've seen, you know, the San Jacinto River and the Trinity River has always fed our bay system. Before they had dams, it was just a natural flow. You didn't get these giant floods where all these reservoirs had to be drained and everything else. You know, when we'd get these big rain events, and the tarpon migration used to come right up our ship channel through the jetties and at Lynchburg Crossing up there at the San Jacinto River. That was a big tarpon thing back in the day. I remember my dad and all his old cronies telling me the stories about they'd be out there trout fishing in Tabs Bay, all those upper ends of the channel would just load up with tarpon on their migration in and out of here every year. And once they dammed all these rivers up, it changed things, and it's just been slowly deteriorating, you know, our ecosystem over the years, not to mention other issues, environmental fallout and lack of habitat and everything else. But he raised a good point with that, and it's changed the you know, we just don't see the tarpon come into the bay like we did back in the 80s and even part of the early 90s. They just pretty much stay in the Gulf. You know, we get our little ones. You know, the little ones will come in here, and they'll stay for the winter. There's a lot of areas down around Galveston and, you know, over Matagorda way where they catch immature, you know, juvenile tarpon in the Brazos River and places like that during the winter time. So, real quick, I got a question from, you know, if you do have a question for me, you can text me at 713-480-6713. But Gilbert texted me, good morning, Captain. Two questions. First, I have about 25 rolls of mono. They've never been opened, but were submerged during Harvey. Do you think that they're still salvageable? And good question. Best thing to do is take them out. You know, unwrap them and, you know, wrap that spool around your hands three or four times, the line on each hand, and pull on it and see if you can break it. It breaks pretty easy, being whatever pound test it is. You'll know, and it may not be any good, but if it's been kept in the air conditioning and out of the sun, you know, sun's a big killer, salt and sun on your fishing lines, then it might be time to discard it and get something else. And, said leader line, should it be stronger or lighter than your main line? Well, naturally, leader, that's what you use it for, is extra strength and abrasion resistance and everything for fighting a bigger fish. Like if you're throwing 10-pound mono, I mean, why bother putting anything smaller? You always want to size up. You know, like if I throw 10-pound mono or 12-pound, I'm going to throw at least 20 to 25-pound, you know, leader material. So that's what I would do, you know, always size up, because that's what it's there for. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to our break. First, I need to tell everybody about Safe Floor High Performance Marine Servicing. You know, Safe Floor is the ultimate in slip resistance for your boat, patio, pool deck, or boat dock. Safe Floor comes in hundreds of colors to match any of your flooring needs. It'll also lessen fatigue with a quarter-inch thick pad. Safe Floor is guaranteed as long as you own your boat. Whether you own a 50-foot sport fisher or a 10-foot John boat, no boat is too large or too small. I've trusted Safe Floor my boat for over 10 years now, and it's still beautiful. It cleans up in a snap. So if your boat floor gel coat is getting a little slick on you or your carpet needs replacing, check out Safe Floor High Performance Marine Servicing. Check them out at safe-floor.com, or you can call Old Ed or Brandon Harper at 832-837-4818. That's Safe Floor High Performance Marine Surfacing. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment on this Open Line Fun Sunday. If you care to give us a call, we'd be glad to take it. 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. All right, next up is Rick Bice. Rick hung up. Oh, goodness. Well, let's go to Craig in G-Town, see what he's up to this morning, man. Craig, you're next up. You don't have to wait.
What's
now.
Up?
Rick,
man, what's up, Mickey?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, just stirring, just getting up. Thought I'd give you a shout, see how you're doing.
Yeah, I'm good, man, and you?
Everything's all right over here. Had a little family issues, but we're going to get through it. my main call, man, I just wanted to give my condolences to Silver King Adventures, and I know you knew Robbie, and
oh,
quite
yeah, I've
a
known
shocker.
Robbie since he was a teenager, young man.
Yeah, it's, well, like you said, it's like Plog, you know, he came up working with you, and anyway, it's just a stunning
it is.
Thing.
It's tragic, man. It just, you think about all the, I mean, you just go, how did it happen? You just, it just doesn't register, especially when
just
you
don't
know how savvy Robbie was, you know, with, you know, sea legs and a boat, and it was calm seas that day. I mean, the weather wasn't an issue, and just
bizarre.
All kinds of things have been running through my mind for 10 or 12 days now.
Yeah. And never find out what will happen, whatever happened, though. That's crazy. Did you say he his main rod and reel, that one of it was missing?
As far as I know, his casting rod was not in the boat, and he wasn't either. His three trolling rods, he had them out. He had already caught a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And his trolling motor was on. You know, you get all these conflicted, you know, stories, and you know how things are. People talk, it just changes. The story changes every time it goes through another person. But as far as I know from the people, you know, the guy that found his boat and everything, that's the way it played out. A trolling motor was going, so he was trolling three baits. He had already caught a couple of tarpon. You know, maybe he caught one on his casting rod and got it up by the boat. Something happened. He went over with the fish or what. Nobody knows. Only Robbie knows, man. He was by himself, so only God and Robbie.
He could have gotten caught up in that terminal and got sucked overboard.
You know, I mean, and it's happened before. He could have, you know, what if he would have been using a multi-hook bait and caught that tarpon? He's reaching down there, leadering it, and trying to get it released, and it shook and put a hook in his hand and pulled him over. I mean, there's so many scenarios. We'll never know.
Yeah. Anyway, very, very sorry to hear that, man. Really am.
I know. It's so tragic. He's got such a sweet wife and two sweet little girls, and it's just,
oh, man, that's a heart ripper,
you know,
right there.
It's going to be tough on those kids. You know, their daddy went fishing, and they'll never see him again.
Never came back. Mm-mm-mm. Nope. Well, anyway.
It's a gut wrencher.
What sure is it? It is. It's a crisp morning out here on the island.
Isn't it beautiful? Don't you love this after all summer? It's the one we've been waiting on.
Wind laid down pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's not near as bad as yesterday. I mean, I never did hear from anybody on how they did in Hunter Welch's flounder tournament yesterday. I know a lot of them got out. I saw Chicken Boy. He had a pile of flounder fillets with his Chicken Boy lures laying on top of them this morning. I saw that on Facebook. Joe put that on.
I think Kitty and I are going to go over to the channel and see if we can't hook a flounder or two. I don't know.
Yeah, I never saw anything from Sharky yesterday, how him and his dad did.
Oh, you didn't hear anything?
No, never heard nothing. Never got any photos. Sharky's always good about sending me photos.
Yeah. I've been wanting to get out in the surf and get some whiting and some croaker. That's kind of, hadn't done that in a while. I went over last Saturday, but the wind came up.
Hey, you get them cornered up, man. I'll grab some dead bait and come running, man. I'd love to have some fresh table fare, some whiting and croaker, man.
Heck yeah, man. I took a little six-foot rod, and I got a couple of whiting. Anyway, they hit it, and they gave me some action. You know, I was like, this is all right.
Hey, if whiting got up to 10 pounds, you'd have to use a surf rod to catch them. They are strong like croakers are. They're fighters.
And it's just like Gulf trout, man. Those things, they put the hammer on it.
Boy, and they thump your lure good, too.
They put a thump, don't they? I really
do. They do, man. And that's good eating. Give me a good old Gus Trout, too.
I think they freeze better than specs, you know?
Yeah, they do freeze good. You know, my mom and grandmother used to put them up, remember in those old cardboard milk cartons?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way they froze fish back then, you know? We didn't have Ziplocs and all this good stuff we got now.
I remember my dad caught a big old bass on some lake up in Oklahoma, and he had it. He was so proud of it. He had it in a block of ice, just solid.
He froze the whole fish in a block of ice?
The whole fish in a block of ice. So.
Now, I never heard of that. That's pretty cool.
I don't know what that was all about. I was a little kid.
Cryogenics.
Yeah, right. It went down to see old Crocker roughly a month ago.
I knew you and Kitty were going. How'd that go, bud?
Hit and miss. It was all right. I ended up going kind of working for him the next day because we were on a tight schedule. And I said, nah, man, we got to do this, that, and that thing. All right, come on, you're gonna work with me. So I hung out with him all day the next day and had a good time. He's old Crocker, man. He's a good guy. He really is. I suggest anybody wants to go shoot some doves. That's a great experience. Just beautiful country down there. We went to La Pryor and never hunted down that way. And just beautiful. So many birds. And just an awesome time. So.
Yeah, I've heard. I've never been to La Pryor. I've heard how pretty it is in that area right there.
Yeah, it's just not. Boy, I tell you one thing. You talk about dusty. You have to stop your vehicle, man. There was just clouds of dust. It hadn't rained. It was like talcum powder down there.
Boy, I hate it when it gets like that.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know what's weird in South Texas, when it you get a real dry stretch like that, and you know it's real talcum powdery and all that, and dusty conditions, and then you get some pretty good rainfall behind that, and you'll be driving down to Sendera, and you can just watch the sand just rolling up in front of you like a wave. It's really weird, and then you get into those low spots. I remember one year. It rained down there so bad, and Blaine had everything in the world stuck down there. They had to daisy chain a mile long trying to pull everybody out of one spot.
Oh, boy.
very seldom you see it like that down there, but, they've had a – I'm looking so forward to this hunting season because of the – you know, throughout the whole state, because they got critical rainfall at the right times all through the spring and early summer areas, and – I know the birds have thrived. I mean, look at the dove this year. And not to mention, quail populations are through the roof. And, you know, a lot of your good quail areas like Jim Hogg County and places like that where they're notorious for their bird populations anyway. And Blaine said he measures his quail populations by, like, when he comes out and gets on the county road and runs to town, and every time you go to town, you hit 5, 10, 15 quail and kill them. He said that's when you got millions of them. When you're running over quail, you got millions of them.
Oh, you know it. You know it. Yeah, I think the bird numbers are up big time this year, and deer,
the horn
too.
Horn development is probably going to be – there's going to be some really good – I've already seen some really great bow kills this bow season already in South Texas. And even in East Texas, really nice deer. Big time.
I don't know where we're going to do this year. I don't really want to go back down to Catarina for some reason. I just, you know, when it don't feel right, just don't do it.
Right.
Because it's so close to the border.
Yeah.
I don't know. And where we're located, it's just so isolated. I just don't feel right, you know.
Well, if you don't feel right, don't do it.
So, I know, you find me another place.
Instinct, you know, that human instinct. If it don't feel right, don't do it. Do something that feels good.
Go with your gut.
Go with your gut. Always that gut feeling, it never lies. You know, that's going to be an issue.
About all I got on
my hunting season is the border traffic.
That's something else, man.
That's going to ruin a lot of hunts.
Yeah, it is. going to change people's direction.
Walk through and have all that human sin all over your senderas and everything. Those deer they're not coming out. They're steering clear.
No. No, I'm just sitting in a deer blind down here. It kind of makes me nervous because you don't know who's walking around out there. I've heard some stories about this one hunter. He was sitting in his blind, and this guy in the corner of his eye, he saw some movement. And this guy, he's dressed in all camo. He's got a backpack on, and he's packing an AK-47. And the guy just froze. Anyway, the camo boy got eye contact, winked at him. And went around his blind. I'm sure the guy probably was about to have a heart attack inside that blind. And he just kept walking and you know South Texas brush is. But I figured that guy thought he was gonna get rubbed out like them. But you know what that guy had in that backpack. You know, he was toting.
Yeah, you can tell the ones that are organized and coming through with backpacks and everything and all camoed up. And
yeah. Oh, he was recon, man. He was on point. I don't know. What are you going to do, man?
I know. Well, and the bad thing about down there, if something did break out or something really happened bad, you know, and you're sitting up in a deer stand, you're vulnerable. I mean, what are you going to hide behind a 3/4-inch sheet of plywood that you're sitting in? Come on, man.
Well,
the good blinds are made out of the good thick stuff. I've had hunted some that were just like, am I going to fall through the floor of this thing?
Paper thin.
Oh, I don't like those, but.
We're like 20 miles off the main highway back in there. You know, it takes an hour to get back in there, so. Yeah. I'm going to find me a new place.
Well,
somewhere.
A lot of people are.
How's Rhonda doing?
Everybody's fine. How about all your family?
Good. We're looking. Marita's mom's getting at that point in her life where we're trying to get her to come down here to Galveston. Come and live with us. She's.
It's hard to do, man. Those old timers.
Yeah, she's.
Independent and setting their ways and everything, and I went through all that hell with my daddy, trying to get him to move in with me.
What do you do with all their stuff, you know? And
well, plus you just have to get organized and have a garage sale and you know all that and give it all. But my dad, I will say this for him, his place up there at Onalaska, he had he knew this that day was coming, and he had. Mm-hmm. Gotten rid of a lot of stuff, and he wasn't a hoarder or anything. He kept everything real organized, and I was fortunate for that.
Yeah, that's a big load off there. I bet.
Yes.
But, well, her mom's been living in this house since 1960, and, you know, coming down here, that's a big change for her. It really is.
It will be.
So.
But they'll get used to it. I went through that with my dad, and it was good for me because I got the last couple of years of his life.
Yeah.
We got to spend a lot
you got
of time
to see him,
together,
man.
And he was funny anyway. Yeah. Man, my old man was pretty cool.
Well, you had him set up, man. You had him his own room and everything.
Oh yeah, it was. It was a good deal. It didn't. You know, it was a change for him, but it really wasn't that big a change for us, and we just kind of let him. Kind of like getting a new puppy. Here we go. He was like a big old puppy when he was in his older years. He had a good, clear mind. That's one thing about it is, you know, his mind was good. He didn't lose his memory or anything else.
Yeah, I hope we can stick it out that long. I tell you that. I'm trying to keep myself right, and Kitty is too, and just keep on keeping on, man.
That's it. Live it every day like it's your last one. You never know.
I know that's right.
What happened to Robbie and a few others we've lost this year. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Well, Mickey, that's about all I got. I just want to say hey, and I just, you know, see Plog, talk to him, just tell him I said, man, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he wanted me to go play golf this afternoon with him, but I had to turn him down. I got something else going. I can't, you know. Anyway. And that Astro game yesterday didn't turn out quite like we wanted it to.
I was going to ask you, what happened to that? Because I think I just
well, you know, when they hit a grand slam in the first inning and then turn around and do it in the second inning, it's pretty disheartening. It kind of pulls the wind out of your sails a little bit, so to speak.
Yeah, it clips your wings, doesn't it?
Yep, but, you know, everybody was worried about the bullpen in the postseason, but, hey, they've been our strength. You know, other than our batting. But,
right.
But we did come back and score a few runs and kept it some hope.
What was the final score? What was the final score?
9-5.
No, that wasn't Chestnut bad.
It was 8-0 for quite a while. And then they pitched to Kiki Hernandez, and he had another home run to make it 9-3. And I said, man, why throw to this guy? Please don't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess that's the way they do it now. I remember Barry Bonds and all the big boys back in the day. They'd never pitch to him. They just don't want that, you know, base runner. Because usually when you walk somebody, they're always going to score 9 times out of 10. So walks are not good. I like intentional walks, though. Don't let one guy beat you.
Well, we'll see what the Texans do. That's usually a comical.
No, I can already predict that before we go any farther on that one. Yeah. Who are you talking about? What team is that? Oh, well.
Yeah, that's something else, I tell you.
Houston sports.
It's just not a football town, you know. It's a baseball town.
It is for now.
Yeah.
It used to be a basketball town, too.
Long gone.
When Akeem and all that crew won 2 back-to-back championships.
True. Well, we'll never be back to love you.
Everybody loves a winner, man. Losing is not an option in H-Town.
Nah.
If you don't win, you're out.
The only good is your last game.
Tough fans.
Exactly.
Tough crowd out there. Well, y'all have a good one. You get them old Whiting and Croakers hemmed up. You know my number, brother.
Those I call them snow cones, man. You can't get a handle on them things at all. Slippery.
What, the Whitings?
Yeah.
They're strong.
Then they,
you can hold them in your hand, and they'll squirm right out of your hand. They're strong fish, kind of like picking up a little bitty shark, the way they can just, you know, squirm out of your hand.
And then that little dorsal fin got a little hook on it. It'll snag you.
Yeah, it will.
Go back the other way.
Well, look at the croaker. Croakers got that little gill raker on their outside of their gill. Boy, they'll turn
into a croaker in so long, I forgot how to handle them.
Oh, they'll slash your thumb open, just like a redfish will.
Yeah, they got that plate back there on that gill.
Yeah, they do. They can turn that head and put it in your thumb every time.
I know where I can get them, but I don't feel like driving down there. So
yeah.
Go down there. Oyster Creek. I know where I can get them down there. But maybe I can get them. I'm going to look at the surf. I know the surf's still all tore up. But.
Well, talking to TCD the other day, Texas City Dave, he was saying there's a quiet croaker run going on the dike.
Yeah, it's real quiet.
There's no loose-lip sinking ships over there. So
exactly. Kind of got a barrier wall around that little spot.
Nowadays, fishing's tough. You get on them, you better be quiet about them. They'll come get them.
Exactly. I know I've opened my mouth too many times. I learned to shut my mouth.
Every fisherman has.
Shut.
That's when you become, well, you know, you've graduated to the next levels when you don't have to beat your chest and brag about your catch and tell them where you caught them.
Close the door.
If nobody knows you caught them, then they don't ask you where you caught them. That's the deal.
Right. Exactly.
Sacred
I think I'm
going
go to I'm gonna go over to UTMB and unlock the gate. And that's my little secret spot.
Well, hey, man, I got to bow out of here. I got to give it to the next crew coming in. But, Craig, right, it's always good talking to you. Give Kitty a hug. Y'all have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, buddy. You too.
See you later. All right, that's Craig in G-Town. That's all the time we have for today's show. I hope everybody has a really beautiful Sunday. The weather's just picture perfect. Go out and enjoy it. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
That's too damn bad!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.